Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I am? Okay, good. Man, these are majorly different. I want to welcome our VFN TV and data radio program audience. Man, I'm glad to be here. I hope you can hear me. I can barely hear me. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John. It took him a little while.
It took him a little while.
And yeah. John Ramos.
Hello.
We have some things we want to cover today just to encourage you. One is I want to be able to talk about I really ponder, and the Lord's just been really just showing me a few things about life and, you know, all this beautiful artwork and beautiful dances and beautiful architecture work and monuments. People, that just, it's amazing how much of their life they put into this. But I want to talk about that because you think about it, because people can make such an impact, impact in their lifetime, in their span, because they say, I want to make a mark. But in the end, Solomon, who made the biggest mark of all, he said it's all vanity. It's all vanity because it's kind of hard to comprehend because this wise man had to struggle with, I've done all this, and I'm having to leave it to people who don't even care. Mm-hmm. It was just insignificant. It just totally meant nothing's new under the sun. So we're going to talk about that because, I mean, I admire so many. There's so many things that are done. It's like, man, that's just so beautiful. And it's just... It touches your heart, but the truth is only what you do for God lasts.
That's right. That's
and it's only for a moment. It's vanity. It's just here and gone with the wind, as Solomon says. We won't talk about that, you know, because you can appreciate things that are going on. But at the same time, you still need to witness to the artist, you know, because they can be so overtaken with people's responses to their gift, they can actually think they are their gift.
Right.
And then they find out, like Solomon at the end, at the throne of God, that it was all vanity. Mm-hmm. And so, but I just want to talk about that today because this is probably pondering in my heart about that. Also, about standing in the gap between the living and the dead. I mean, you think about it. Great disaster was coming to Israel. Kor's rebellion had rose up, you know, in Israel. And, you know, God's just trying to do something. And Kor's got an idea. And thinking that it was Moses. But long story short, this huge thing happened where... the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his family, and fire came down from heaven and swallowed up 250 of the Alinsky children. Hmm. And then all of a sudden a plague broke out. But the interesting thing I want to talk about is that because someone has stood in the midst of all that, stood between the living and the dead, between the undeserving and the deserving, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Somebody stood between in the gap. That only 14,700 plus 250 of his followers and Korah and his family died. It would have been much more than that. And you know, some people say, well, where was God in all this? It could have been a lot worse. Mm. But somebody stood in the gap. And so I want to talk about that because it's easy for people to stand up. People stand up for good people all the time. You know, people stand up for rich people all the time. It's amazing. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, that's my friend. Oh, he's got money. That's your friend.
That's your friend.
That's
now,
your friend.
Huh? Okay.
They say you win the lottery, you find out all your friends and your family and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you know, there's good people that people just will stand up for. But God stands up for everyone. He looks for everyone, anyone to stand up for everyone.
Yeah.
Including Pat.
Yeah.
And me.
Thank God.
And, of course, John doesn't need intercession. He's walking on water and all that stuff. I mean, if he didn't walk on water, it'd be over his head anyway.
That's right. I had to. Right. Me and the Lord.
Yeah. But you think about it. So we're going to talk about that because there is our carnal nature, our sin nature, our self can get in the way of twisting the meaning of God. God does care. And so when he has a message of hope for folks who are in a time of crisis – that are going to end up in a time of disaster, he has you deliver that. He's not wanting you to deliver it for fire to come down on people's head. He's wanting you to deliver it in hopes that they would repent, and then he could relent, and no longer would that have to happen. So he wouldn't have to destroy the land. So we're going to talk about that, how to stand between the living and the dead. And the truth is, if that you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, I mean, you're dead in your sins. but you can be made alive in Jesus Christ. The ultimate intercessor we'll talk about is Jesus himself. This is the heart of God, intercession. It's kind of strange in the way that we think, because you wouldn't think the creator of the universe would actually put somebody between him and them to see if somebody cares, you know?
Right.
But he did. He put his son, his perfect son, his sinless son, in between mankind and himself so that he could have a relationship with people who are like Korah, who are in rebellion and prodigals that gone astray. There's somebody just standing in the gap for him. And quite often you hear folks going like, I see what you mean, God, take him out. And that was Jonah, a reluctant intercessor. We'll be talking about that, but a reluctant intercessor. Jonah, he just showed up and mumbled a few words. You're going to die. You deserve it. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. And they listened. It's probably the worst message he ever preached. And they listened, and against his will, but in the will of God, they repented. And God relented and changed his plans for destroying the land. Mm-hmm. So truly, he looks for someone to stand between the living and the dead. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so, so very important. Also, you're talking about the destiny of knowing the Lord?
Yes. You know, to know him and to make him known. That's the destiny of the sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people know about him. There's two words in the Bible we're going to talk about that in the Greek is means to know. One means knowing God in your head, and the other one knowing him experientially. I'm going
to
talk
Does
about
this have
that.
Anything to do with Greek solids?
No. Greek language.
I told you, he's just so smart.
Yeah. I don't know how he does.
How do you say that in Spanish?
Spanish? I don't know how to say that in Spanish. See?
That was a minute.
In Spanish, I don't know.
Between Spanish and spinach. Uh-huh. By the sailor man.
Hang on. It's King on.
So,
there it is.
So, yeah, Greek solids
and
feta cheese and all that.
Greek language.
Greek language. Oh. Well, you know, we're from the South.
Yeah. I mean, no Espanol.
I was listening.
I know. I know. I heard you wrestling, and you know, I heard.
We're going to have a tournament here.
Tournament.
You think about this, and we're going to go to break and come back and talk about these things, but I was listening yesterday to these countrymen.
who are they?
Yeah. Talk to
Pray
us.
Pray that we can enunciate our words a little bit better. It's we don't want to feed into the premise that
the narrative,
the narrative of, but you know, it is amazing how Pat can talk and his lips don't move. I mean, that,
hey, I practiced a long time.
Deep legs. Oh my goodness. Listen, this is so important because right now, great, tragedies really facing mankind right now across the world. We're bowing up at China right now, you know, 1.3 billion folks. We're 300 million. They have 1.something million in their law enforcement.
Hmm.
We discovered probably the largest law enforcement in the world, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to bow up. They could turn off our computers, turn off our iPhones and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a moment in time, and this is what the Word of God, says. It didn't work. The Word of God says that if you live in rebellion, if you're walking in darkness, there's going to be tension and stress and factions, and it'll just continue on. It's not going to stop but there's peace for those who walk in obedience to God. But those who walk in disobedience, they're in constant distress. And the earth is in distress right now because, you know, many of God's folks are walking in rebellion to God. And he says, if my people who are called by my name do what's right, and then everybody will benefit from it because mm-hmm. I will heal the land. We'll be back from this break in a moment.
We'll be right back. The Battle of Gettysburg in July 1863 was an attack by Confederate troops on the North on their own soil. General Lee's plan was to win, thereby discouraging the Union in continuing. His plan failed, and it became the turning point in the Civil War.
4 months later, Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address. It took only 2 minutes to deliver, but it's considered one of the most stirring speeches in American history.
And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Gettysburg Address has biblical themes throughout, from such books as John 3 and Psalm 90.
Lincoln later said, "In regard to this great book, I can only say it is the best gift which God has ever given man."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting MOTB.TV. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst, that we really could walk away with greater courage.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, everything. I can actually, it's good to be back.
That is
amazing.
Glad
my goodness. I was about to do sign language. I wasn't sure. Well, you know, I want to go right into the time that we have to talk about the word vanity. And because I look at people and in how their labors and their work, and think about the Michelangelo and his carvings of all these statues, and how much effort and energy that he put into to this work. I mean, the intensity. Obviously, God gave him this talent, and he was able to take this talent and make marvelous works of art that are admired even today. I mean, you can look at it and just people still want to go see his work and all that. And then you think about, you know, musicians. I mean, there's some, you know, outside of lyrics, I mean, you hear some sounds, and it's amazing how they took so much time. And I'm thinking how that overlays and how that comes together, and that beat that just kind of carries throughout, and that loop. And you're just thinking, what a beautiful work of art. How beautiful is that piece of music that they put together? And then you see some dances, you know, there's some dances that are not these other kind of dances that you see today, but it's just this dance. It's just like you're just overtaken by how powerful that dance is and what it just brought to the moment. And I mean, some is so, it's so beautiful, literally brings a tear to your thing. And that was just so powerful of a dance. And then you see architecture. You know, you see buildings, you know, the right buildings that are still today, but you also see these huge towers. You see the Freedom Towers that's there. You go, you see just houses that are built with such great architecture, and you just look at it, and some of them, it'll take a lifetime just to begin to admire it, because you're just looking at all the idiosyncrasies and the parts of why they did it this way and why they did it that way, and it's just, and it's legitimate, beautiful art and music and just amazing things that are taking place. And then, you know, you listen to people, and some people say, you know, I want to make my mark, and they hire one of these people and say, I want you to build me. I want you to use your gift, your architectural gift, and I want you to build me. I want you to design me a building that's so unique that it just looks like blank towers, you know, whatever you want to put on it, just some big thing that has their name on it. Somebody else says, you know, I want to own, I want to make so much money that I own the best artistic expression that there is. You know, I want to have the best dance theater. I want to have the best musicians, or I want to have, you know, and they're wanting to own that gift, what they're wanting to do. But that's how powerful these gifts are. But you think about it, at the end of the day, despite how beautiful Van Gogh's work is, and despite how beautiful supposedly the Mona Lisa is, that, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, and people sit and go, oh, you know, I'll buy it for $20 million. You know? And you just go, wow, I could have painted that. But it's just, the whole thing is, and it's like, but at the end of this thing, at the end of your life, at the end of that artist's life, that you just danced to their music, you just sang their songs, and you never thought about their soul. You know, you just admired their paintings, but you never thought about the painter. You just admired all those parts and what they actually did, but you didn't admire them and think about them in the end because you got overtaken by their gifts. And the truth is, no matter how powerfully you use your gift, maybe it's the gift of music, maybe it's the gift of encouragement, maybe it's the gift of teaching and preaching, maybe it's the gift of prophecy, maybe it's the gift of music and art and dance, whatever it is, the only thing that's going to count is what you did for God. It doesn't matter, because when you finish carving this Michelangelo form, you're going to die. And whoever, as Solomon said, who's not going to appreciate it, is going to take it over. They're going to take it over. In the end, it all boils down to, even though it's the most amazing music, astounding art, dances that make people weep, and buildings that take a lifetime to admire, it's really just all vanity. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 talks about it. He just says, he's talking, this is the most wisest man outside of Jesus Christ that walked the face of the earth, Solomon. He says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem, says, meaningless. Meaningless. And it's difficult because he spent his life on what he thought was meaning. Mm. The greatest palaces, the greatest clothes, the doing everything just right. But at the end of the thing, things that people still admire, not thinking Van Gogh was depressed and his life ended miserably. And, you know, and how many people looked at my work but didn't look at me. Mm-hmm. And then I just did my gift because that's the only way they would accept me. And he says, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Think about that. Vanity, vanity. It's all vanity. And how many musicians? Yes, it's beautiful. Yes, it makes me weep. And yes, it moves my heart towards my God. But the question is to move your heart towards my God. Mm. I mean, good music can just melt a heart. And even in, I remember there's one particular song that I heard for years, and I thought, man, that is just powerful. And I was like, that guy didn't have, you know, but it was just a music that melted my heart and turned my heart towards God. I thought about God. I don't know what he thought about, but it just, you know, and the thing about it is, it's like, the question is, does it turn my heart to God? Does it turn your heart to God?
We'll be right back.
I talked to her and she said, I just left Seattle. And she said, I was in a meeting in Seattle, Pastor. She said, I know I never met you, but I've been going here a long time. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, I just left a meeting in Seattle. And she said, Dr. Cho was the speaker. And she said, I heard him say in Seattle that the Lord told him, he said, I'm about to pour out my spirit in America. And he said, well, Lord, I said, are you through with America? Are you through with America? It looks like that, you know, everything's just going haywire. Are you through with America? And God said, oh, no. He said, I'm not through with America. He said, I'm about to pour out my spirit there. He said, as a matter of fact, get your atlas out of your attaché case. And he got his atlas out, opened it up, and the Lord said, point. And it landed right on the dot of Pensacola. And the Lord spoke to Joe and said, I'm going to pour out my spirit first here like a match head. It'll burn like a match head, bright, and it'll be powerful. And he said, then it will go over to the Mississippi River, and it'll back up across Florida again, come down into the peninsula of Florida, go up the east coast down through the west and the southwest, and shoot out to the northwest. And before my coming, all of America will be ablaze with the glory of God.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I mean, good music can just melt a heart. And even in, I remember there's one particular song that I heard for years, and I thought, man, that is just powerful. I was like, that guy didn't have, you know, but it was just the music that melted my heart and turned my heart towards God. I thought about God. I don't know what he thought about, but it just, you know, and the thing about it is just like, the question is, it not does it turn my heart to God? Does it turn your heart to God? And I just like, I just really want to see, you know, this moment where we begin to just, the gifts of God come back into the kingdom of God, and they're laid at the altar of God to bring glory to God. So in the end, your life won't be meaningless. You won't be like the ones that Jesus said to stand before his throne and say, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he lists all these beautiful gifts. He's going to say, I never knew you. I don't care about your statues, your painting, your music, your sermons, your prophecies. I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, he says that. And then he goes on to say in Solomon here in verse 3, he says, what do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? He's like, man, we've been working so hard. And you can imagine all the blueprint concepts and sketches and stuff that he's building, all these things. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The most insulting thing at all, of all, when you suffer great loss, you just, there's something inside of you that says, the world should stop. The trees should not have grown a new leaf. The clouds should not have dropped their rain. Definitely people should not have gone to work. But the truth is, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Things just continue on. Mm-hmm. Our life is but a vapor. He says, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back around to rise again. The winds blow to the south. They turn around to the north. Round and round they go and return to its own course. All streams flow to the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, and they return again. All things are worrisome. More than one can say. The eye never has enough seeing, and the ear never has enough hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It has already been done long ago. It was done before. No one remembers the former generation, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. Vanity, meaningless. And it's like, if anybody can relate to gifts and immaculate, not immaculate, but just awesome works of art, it would be Solomon. But the truth is, even Solomon in all of his splendor was not dressed like the flowers of the field.
Right.
That are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow. And he's saying, listen, it's going to go on. The question is, yes, you sing good. Yes, you play your instrument good. Yes, you are good with a graphic arts. You are good with your gift. But the question is, are you using it for God's glory? Because in the end, the wisest man said in the end, he said, it is all meaningless. But what counts? What counts is what you do for God. Because you're going to be able to go before the throne of God, and you're going to be able to say, I gave it all to you. I mean, if he just gave you the ability not to play a violin, but play a fiddle, you played that fiddle to the very end. If he gave you one talent, you used that talent so many times that people are amazed that you could do everything you did with that one particular talent. But when you go before him, he's going to look at you and he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You were faithful with that gift, with that talent, with that stuff, what I gave you, invested it, and you got a return on it. You didn't just go out there and use it for people to admire you and your work. And you actually, created something that turned people to me, and you yourself were turned to me through it. And I just want to say, you know, there's some beautiful things. There's some beautiful dances. There's some beautiful music. There's beautiful artwork, and there's beautiful statues and just architecture and all these different things. But don't be overtaken by them, because they're here today and gone tomorrow. But the Lord is forever. And his beauty, there is no end. He's ever unveiling. If these things that men, flawed men, build cause you to stand in awe, amazing what awe himself will be like when you stand in his presence. Imagine what it would be like when you're before the throne room of God and you're looking at a city that he designed specifically for you, where there's no sin and no tears and no agony. Imagine what it's going to be. If this little building just moves you like that, or this dance moves you like that, what's it going to be like when you're in the presence of God and angels are hovering over you and their wings are brushing each other as they're hovering over you, just pushing the praise towards the throne room of God? Imagine what it's going to look like, the foundations of heaven and the pearly gates and the golden streets. I mean, you think this awes you? Imagine the awe of the presence of God. Truly, you know, I say, you know, admire things that are happening, that the men are doing, but worship God. But realize, too, in the end, that person who has that gift may be so overwhelmed by their gift, they may be taking all the glory for that. And pause for a moment and say, that was a beautiful song. It was great. You know, where's your soul? Do you know God? I know that T.D. Jakes said that to a particular artist that was coming through his church. And everybody else just wanted his gift. They just wanted his gift. And T.D. Jakes sums up with this young man. And he pulls him aside and he says, what's going on in your life? And he just falls apart. And he found out. Everybody just kept booking him for another singing engagement. Another, because, you know, that's what people will do. Mm-hmm. You know, you sing, you dance, whatever you do, they'll hire you. But when you're not doing it for God, it's called prostitution, right?
Yeah.
If it's a gift that God's given you and you're using it, you're selling the gift. But in the context of that, T.D. Jakes paused and said, are you all right? That's what I ask you. Are you all right? Think about it. I mean, you're going back to preach again next Sunday and you're falling apart. Your marriage is falling apart. Your family's falling apart. You're going to go back and you're going to pull something else out of the hymnal. You're going to pull one more transparency up. You're going to put one more PowerPoint together. But I'm asking you, yeah, everybody admires all that part, but what about you? Where are you at in your life? I just want to encourage you right now to make a decision not to live your life in vanity, not to live it in meaningless effort, because it becomes meaningless after a while. It becomes totally meaningless when your gift is used for something other than the worship of God. I want to encourage you, just repent and say, you know what, God, I'm going to recommit. I am tired of all these things that I made it. I'm bringing everything back to the heart of worship. All my art, all my music, all my dance, everything that I do, Lord, I'm going to do it for you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.